I want to read a passage from the fourth chapter of Ephesians. I'll begin reading with verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I believe that's as far as I need to read now. 16 verses from the fourth chapter of Ephesians. There are points all the way through this that I hope to pick up and discuss some. I don't intend to discuss all these verses, but there are points in the first and in the last and through the middle and all that I consider to be important and valuable. I think that my form tonight will be to begin in the middle and go both ways. Ordinarily, I take a text and work on it, or take a passage and begin at the top and work down through it. But I think I'll change my pattern some tonight and just begin down in the middle. He gave some apostles. Who did this? It was God who did this. God has set up the church just exactly like He wants it. And if we'll just submit ourselves to God and let Him work in and through us of His own good pleasure to will and to do, He'll operate the church to the edification of all of us. That's what He has in mind when He told us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but that we would diligently come together and exhort one another. He had in mind the upbuilding of the church by the church. The church within itself. And He put all the elements and organs and everything in there that is necessary to accomplish this purpose. That the church within itself might possess the element of mutual edification. Edification, upbuilding, flowing from one heart to another heart. Now He said He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now God did all of this. God has all of the gifts in His hand. And He gives them to whomsoever He will. And if we will just learn this and learn to work in our place and fill our place that God has given us to fill, everything will work beautifully. Now this covers the whole scope of the ministry. Evangelists, prophets, pastors, teachers, and apostles. This covers the whole scope of the ministry. Every one of these mentioned here is a different gift and calling. And every one is a different type or kind of ministry. But God understood when He made the body of Christ, when He built the church, He understood just what it would take for that church to operate beneficially, profitably, and to the mutual edification and upbuilding of all of its members. Now He said He gave these different gifts here of the ministry for the perfecting of the saints. If we have a faithful ministry, each one faithfully performing his proper service and filling his proper place, proclaiming the truth, God's Word, in its entirety, if the church does not grow and prosper and become enriched with the divine virtues and graces of God, that's the people's fault in the church. God put the organs in there to function properly, to cause the church to grow and become perfected. When the Scripture says perfected here, it doesn't necessarily mean a human perfection beyond error. But it means a maturing, a coming to age, a developing in our Christian experience. And if we will be diligent in listening to the gospel of Christ, God's word, as it is preached and taught to us, and will be diligent in applying that to our lives, we will come to a maturity in our experience and in our relationship with Christ that will be rich. God wants you and me to become perfected. Again, I'll mention that is beyond human error. We don't reach that point. As long as there's a human element involved, there's a possibility of human error. But we're talking about people growing up, coming to age. That's what he meant when he said, we all come to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. We come to age. Grow up, mature in our Christian experience. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That we, till we all come in the unity of the faith. When the Word of God is taught to us, in all of its aspects, and in its fullness and entirety, and we listen to it that way and apply it to our lives that way, the only result that could come from that would be a bringing us in to a unity in the faith. People who are saved are in the unity of the Spirit without trying to be. Being saved, being born of the Spirit of God just makes you in unity of spirit with other people that are saved and born of that same Spirit. The 12th chapter of Hebrews, about verse 23, I suppose you would find this. He says, ye are come to the spirits of just men made perfect. In other words, we are brought into a holy, close, deep, personal fellowship and unity with every other person from the river to the ends of the earth that's born of that same Spirit. In the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, there's a text, I don't remember the verse, says, he that is joined to the Lord is one Spirit. To be joined to the Lord is to be one spirit with the Lord. Everyone who is joined to the Lord is in that oneness of spirit with the Lord Himself. Then it follows that if you are joined to the Lord and you're one with Him, and I'm joined to the Lord and I'm one spirit with Him, all you can get out of that's one spirit between me and you. But the unity of the faith is different from that. He mentioned up here in the third verse that I read, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. That's something you already have. All saved people have that. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. All saved people are not in the unity of the faith. The unity of the Spirit is an instantaneous result of being born of the Spirit. The unity of faith is arrived at by a process. And by faithful teaching of God's Word and faithful observing of what's taught to us. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Note, he said, till we all come to a perfect man. He did not say, till we all come to perfect men. You a perfect man and me a perfect man, but you and me a perfect man. The whole body comes into that state and condition. The body of Christ, the whole church, make up a perfect man. We have a text here in the second chapter of Ephesians, verse 15, says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. The twain that he spoke of here was the Jew and the Gentile. And in him, all of the saved Jews and all of the saved Gentiles make up one new man. That's the body of Christ. That's what he's talking about here. Till we all come to a perfect man. We all collectively come to a individually perfect man. The body of Christ. And under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And in the margin at this point it says to age. And the context bears this out too, that this means age. Growing up. Coming to maturity. It follows right on through and it says that we henceforth be no more children. See, he's wanting to grow up out of the child state. Coming to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ, to age, to maturity, in our Christian experience and in our understanding of the things of God, in our knowledge of God, coming to age, growing up in that, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, the cunning craftiness of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now you know how a child is, that hasn't developed enough in his moral and spiritual understanding, or in any understanding as far as that's concerned, he is easily swayed by the opinions of older people, other people. And God is wanting you and me to get both of our feet on the ground, get rooted and grounded and settled in him till we won't be tossed about. A little child will ordinarily be affected and influenced by the last person he talked to and what they told him. Maybe it's a direct cross and contradiction to what he's been told before by someone else, but the last person that talks to him is usually going to leave their impression on him. What God wants you and me to do is to grow up, come to age, develop in our moral and spiritual perception till we're able to sit down and reason things out and come to a decision and a conclusion of what is right or wrong in this particular case and act on that. Not be swept about and carried to and fro by the blowing winds of doctrine, and there are many, we know that. Many different kinds of doctrines and things going on in the world today. The air is full of them. Many of them conflicting one with another. And if we don't keep our feet on the ground and root down in the truth and get settled in Him, we can be moved from the hope of the gospel. Whereby the lying way to deceive, God is concerned about your spiritual growth and mine. Our spiritual development. Just like we are about our children. Now, mothers, especially, they often complain that their babies don't stay babies long enough. They grow up. Yet they would feel very sad if their children didn't grow up, wouldn't they? It would be something the matter with them. God's concerned when you and I don't grow up. When we don't receive edification. When we are not built up in the things of God. When our hearts are not comforted. When we're not enriched and increased in the divine virtues and graces of God, it's an occasion of concern to God's heart. We're His children. He loves little children just like mothers and fathers love their little children. But none of us would have our children stay little all the time, would we? That is normal for it to be that way. Now, God is concerned about our spiritual growth, and He has given us all of the essential elements for spiritual growth. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Growing up in Christ on the truth. Peter said in 1 Peter the 2nd chapter, in the 2nd verse, he said, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. It's by means of the word getting into our hearts, into our system, spiritual system, and being digested and absorbed and assimilated into our inner being that causes spiritual growth. I'm told that there's a kind of heart trouble that people get. And I don't know what they call this. Maybe some of you do. But it's a kind of heart trouble that affects the person and the system in such a way that their food doesn't assimilate. It isn't absorbed into their body. And I'm told that when a person gets affected with that, They can just eat and eat and eat and just dwindle away. Their food doesn't do them any good. Now, people get that kind of a condition spiritually sometimes. When we're not growing as we should, and maturing and developing, and rooting down in the things of God, and increasing in the divine virtues and graces of God, no doubt the trouble is heart trouble. It's a condition of heart that we just do not digest and absorb and assimilate what we should from God's Word. But now he says the objective of everything that he did was that we, through speaking the truth in love, might grow up into him. In all things, every phase and area of our lives, in everything, grow up into him, which is the head, even Christ. Just growing up in Christ, absorbing Christ, becoming more and more a partaker of Christ, assimilating Christ, the Christ nature, into our lives until Christ becomes our life. He becomes so absorbed up in us that he becomes inseparable from us. And he becomes our very life. And that's what the scripture says. In the 3rd chapter of Colossians, verse 2, he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we'll also appear with him in glory. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. One of the secrets is expressed in this word love. Speaking the truth in love. With a tenderness of heart toward those that we're speaking the truth to. With a sincere purpose of heart to help them and to comfort and encourage and edify them. And to build them up in the things of God. I've seen people before now, you have too, that preach the word, but with such a harsh driving spirit that it didn't help anybody. It rather crushed, discouraged, and hurt. Speaking it in love, that's one of the secrets here. And receiving it with love for God is another. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. Now God has a process, and we must come into it, must submit to it, if we want the results to be forthcoming. He has a process of shaping and forming everybody till they'll fit right into the body of Christ. Those who are misfits, those who are loose joints, loose connections, in the body of Christ are people that have not submitted themselves yet to God for God to work in and through them of his own good pleasure to will and to do. Or he would have them shaped up till they fit. God is concerned about you and me fitting. He set all the members in the body as it pleased him. But he wants them shaped up to fit in the place where He puts them. Fitly joined together. Take a building that all the joints fit good and tight, and they're all nailed together good. That building isn't going to be weaving, and it isn't going to be squeaking and making you think it's going to fall down when the wind blows. But you take loose joints, loose connections, the building not put together properly, get a strong wind on it, and it'll weave, and the walls will weave in and out, and it'll squeak, and you'll just be squinging. It's going to fall down, maybe. But God doesn't want a building like that. And He doesn't want a body like that. And I thought like this, there are some people that have ideas and opinions that keep them from fitting right in with the people of God. There are some people that have traditional backgrounds, religiously speaking, been brought up in various faiths and under various teachings that hinder them from fitting. There are some people that have affiliations with other people or things or movements that hinder them from fitting. Some people do things that keep them from fitting right in with the people of God that don't live that way. Some people wear things that hinder them from fitting right in. Some people go places that keeps them from fitting right in. But if we'll submit ourselves to God and the teachings of His Word, and we'll receive the instructions from His Word, God will take us from all the various places that we have come from and throw us in a vat together, so to speak, and turn on the heating element of His Spirit and the agitator of His Word and stir us together until all of those impure elements are separated from us. And the result was, the next word is, that they are compacted. Fitly joined together and compacted. God will have you and me, the last one of us, shaped to where we'll fit right in our place in the body of Christ if we'll just submit to Him to work in us the will and the do of His good pleasure. The problem with many people, and it seems to be more prevalent in this day than it has been in times past, and this that I'm discussing now is more prevalent all along the line than it has been in times past, is that I have a mind of my own and I just don't see it like you see it. Children come up like that. They're taught from the first grades, lower grades, right on up. You're an individual. Assert yourself. The world's yours if you can take it. And they come up in that atmosphere. They grow right up in that. And that thing that is permeating the world's running over onto us more than it should. That instead of submitting to God's Word, the preacher told us this afternoon about some of those things that disturb people's peace, And when they come right up against something in God's Word and they're not ready to accept it, and they begin to make excuses for it and begin to reason around, and I don't see it that way and I see it this way and so on, well, it's naturally going to create a confusion in their minds and disturb their peace. Now, we'll let God, through His Spirit, work in us by His Word of His own good pleasure to will and to do in us. He'll rid us of every foreign element and idea and opinion and tradition and doctrine and creed and practice of every kind that would hinder us from fitting right in with the children of God. It'll make us fit. The whole body fitly framed together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Now this is all accomplished. We're a party to this. If you're having an idea, I'll just sit back and let God do the work. Remember, you're a party to this. He does this and accomplishes this by the means of what you and I supply Him to do it with. He said this is accomplished by that which every joint supplieth. Every part, the effectual working in the measure of every part. You're a part, I'm a part. We're joints and sinews and what have you in the body of Christ. And every one of us have our part to supply in bringing this to pass. God isn't going to do this all on His own, independent of you and me. He says He does that by that which every joint supplieth, you supply and I supply, then the effectual working in the measure of every part. I work effectually and you work effectually, supplying the measure of divine virtues and graces that are necessary to make it work like this. God can't bring it to pass without you and me. Now I want to go back to the first part of this lesson that I read. And there's something there that fits in with this discussion at this point. He said, I beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness. I'm working on the point now, by that which every joint supplieth in the effectual working in the measure of every part. This is what we must all supply, is lowliness. You supplying your measure of lowliness and me supplying mine. All of us being lowly. Do you want someone to be lowly? Show him how. You be lowly. Set the example. It isn't just that I preach to you to be lowly. If I preach to you to be lowly, and that is a part of the doctrine of Christ, I must be lowly. And it is my platform that I stand on that I should be just a little more lowly than I expect you to be. Now, I go on the theory all the time that if every one of us will hold just a little tighter reins on ourselves than we do anybody else, we'll all do well. The body of Christ will move right along and do well. But when we get an idea that you supply so-and-so, but I'm going on my own, Well, we can't get along that way. Lowliness and meekness. You be meek, but me be meek too. All of us be meek. My text says, by that which every joint supplieth in the effectual working in the measure of every part, every one of us supplying our share of meekness. And if we'll all be just a little more meek than we expect other people to be, we can do real well. With long suffering. Have you ever heard anybody say, when they were in a fault, and you approached them about their fault, or maybe they'd trespassed against you or whatnot, say, well, the Bible teaches long suffering. You're supposed to be long suffering. Yeah, it does. And you are supposed to be long-suffering, but I'm supposed to be long-suffering too. All of us, by that which every joint supplieth. God can bring this to pass and edify the body of Christ and build us up in the things of God and enrich our souls with the divine virtues and graces of God and fitly join the body together and compact it together, but it's done by what we supply Him to do it with. And if we balk, He can't do this. He can't bring the body to that state unless we're all faithfully supplying our share of all these graces. I knew him quite well. And he was a very strong preacher. But he preached a lot on submission. I preached quite a bit on that myself. And being subject. And he knew where all the scriptures were that had anything to say about being subject or submitting. But when you summed it all up, this man was wanting everybody to submit to him. And it created a real problem in that place where he worked. Created a real problem. He never learned to submit. He learned to preach submission. And he learned to preach being subject. But it was all subject to him. Well, all of us need to be subject one to another in the fear of God. Ephesians 5:21 says that, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We all need to be that way. In the 5th chapter of 1 Peter, he said, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, and ye all of you be subject one to another. For God has said, He resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If I preach humility, I certainly should practice it. If I expect you to be humble, I ought to be willing to show you how. And I should be a little bit more humble than what I expect you to be. And a little more submissive than what I expect you to be. And a little more long-suffering than what I require of you. All of us supplying our share of this grace of long-suffering. Brother George Harmon told about preaching on charity one time. And the charity was long-suffering, and he was dealing with that point, and he said a man in the congregation spoke up and said, "Brother Harmon." "Yes?" "I know the Bible says long-suffering, but said it didn't say long-suffering." "Said, how long do you think a man ought to suffer?" And Brother Harmon said, "Just as long as there's anything to suffer for," and went right on with his message. "By that which every joint supplieth, in the effectual working and the measure of every part." Long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. This is beautiful. This is a great grace. Forbearance. Are you kind of quick to speak when folks try you sometimes? Are you kindly inclined to speak your mind? A little forbearance would help there. Speaking our mind is sometimes offensive because we have offensive thoughts in our minds toward the individual that may be vexing us and trying us. But a little forbearance would help along there. You and me both forbearing one another. God cannot bring this to pass without you and me and all of us, everybody, being forbearing one toward another. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. All of us endeavor. Every one of us work at it. Folks, there is nothing worthwhile in life that just naturally comes to you and me. We must work at it. Marriages must be worked at. Love between a man and his wife must be cultivated and developed. Has to be worked at all the time. Keep up to date with it. The endeavor of keeping the unity of the Spirit, it has to be worked at all the time. You working at it and me working at it. All of us supplying our share of endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All of us. Bear in mind, this is a beautiful thing that God has outlined here, and He has it set up to work perfectly. I tell you every little while that God's Word will work if we work it. It just won't work by itself. But it'll work as we work it. And this beautiful thing that God has set up here, it is accomplished through our cooperation, every one of us, supplying our share. By that which every joint supplieth in the effectual working, in the measure of every part. And then he said the result of that is, it maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Edification is just a built-in in the body of Christ. And it'll just work out naturally as we yield ourselves to God for God to work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure and to develop these divine virtues and graces in us, and we begin to exercise them one toward another. It'll just work out with this kind of results. Amen.